Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
I invite you to join me in the Prayer for Purity from the Covenant Renewal Service. It's printed on page 4 within your bulletin. Let us pray together. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'll invite you to be seated for the reading of the Genesis passage, not out of disrespect, but simply out of length. I know that this is a longer passage, and then I'll invite you to stand in a moment as we move to the Galatians text. So before we get into any of these texts, this is covenant. It is reminding us of some of the basics of the faith, which we tend to gloss over in a culture that views religious institutions as charitable organizations and sort of places to psychologically bless self-actualization. That's not who we really are. We're not just a group of people in a charitable organization that seek to feel a little bit better about ourselves. We are those who are responding to what we know of the love of God, called in Christ Jesus. And this is a covenant relationship. It's God reaching toward us. And so this is what we're going to unpack in some of the language. And there's a connection between Paul's understanding of covenant and where that is rooted in the Old Testament covenant. Now, there's many covenants within the Old Testament. There is, as you can imagine, the Mosaic covenant, right? The covenant that God makes to his people through Moses. There's the Noah covenant, the sign of the rainbow. There is the Abrahamic covenant, that your descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. Then you move into Jeremiah, and there's a covenant that God would no longer write upon stone hearts, but on the hearts of people. And this is the concept, this covenant, this God constantly reaching toward us, that we're going to pick up some of this imagery. So it may be a little to you this morning. In a culture that is very sanitized, we're going to read a little bit about Old Testament sacrifice. And I'm not sure that's exactly what you wanted to hear this morning, but we're going to look at that real quick and see what's the connection between that and remembering Christ's death was, in many ways, a sacrifice in the sense that it was brutal and he gave of his life. He was not a victim. So how do we draw those connections and what does it mean for us? Well, in Genesis 15, in the language of the scripture in the history of our faith, this is what we read. Now, this was after Abraham's connection with Melchizedek, and you'll remember from the Hebrew series what we spoke about that. Abraham actually gives an offering to Melchizedek, who is the high priest of Salem, which is the area that becomes Jerusalem. So after that encounter, this is the word of the Lord that came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, You've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. So God takes Abram out and says, Look at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to them, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And he also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these out to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then the birds of the prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, that they will be enslaved and mistreated. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And then this passage from Galatians chapter 3, and I'll invite you to stand as you're able. Words you can follow along with in your bulletin or on the screen as well. Chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one relies on the law as justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and as you are, let us pray together. May your Spirit, O God, stand between me and your people so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together will be shaped, formed, and molded into the good news of the gospel of Christ. In whose name we've gathered, in whose name we pray, and in whose name we will depart and seek to serve faithfully. And all of God's people did say, amen. Wow, what a heavy, heavy passage it feels like for covenant renewal. But here's some important things to keep in mind. That as we look at this passage from this covenant renewal, this passing through these offerings of animal sacrifice was a common practice in ancient times. But the difference is this. In the passing between of the pieces, it would be someone who was in a higher place of authority, and it would be the lower person who would approach as an offering, if you would, a lord or a king, and as a way of pledging obedience, the offering would be made, the pieces would be set out, and when the person who is in a lower part of that relationship, we would say the peasant or the ordinary person, would pass through the pieces, it's basically a pledge of fidelity and faithfulness to the authority of the person above them. It's not a lot different than whenever you hear the national anthem being played. What do? You stand, you cover your heart. These are sort of ritualistic practices that we do. Now, no, you don't take the hot dogs and the popcorn and lay them out and walk between them, etc. But in the Old Testament world, we tend to forget, you know, we live a very sanitized world. When was the last time you actually took the head off a chicken before you had chicken fingers? Or chicken nuggets, right? We do not have in our culture today a hands-on. Now, some of us remember what that's like. I remember the hardest part was catching the chicken. Didn't do it a lot, but it was hard. But in Old Testament times, people knew what this meant, this agrarian culture. And so this imagery that's here is that it should have been Abraham in relationship to God, who passed through the pieces. Now, here's the other part of this Old Testament text. There's this fire in this cauldron that comes through. Anytime you see fire, it's called theophany. It's God's presence. Moses comes to what? The burning bush, right? When you look at Moses and the people of Israel being delivered, it was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When it comes to Pentecost and God's Holy Spirit comes to rest upon the people, it is as if it is what? Tongues of fire. You look in the back of that Methodist hymnal in front of you in the spine, you'll see that fire, that representation of the Spirit, of the presence of God. This is a theophany. This is the presence of God. And so literally what happens in this moment is it is God who passes through the pieces, and it's as if God is saying, I am going to literally pass through these pieces, and I'm going to be torn to pieces if I don't keep the covenant, but I'm also going to be torn to pieces if you don't keep the covenant. It's God's way of taking on for us what He's expecting for us.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
So Abraham is startled. And most every commentator avoids Genesis chapter 15 because it's so difficult. But what God's promise is that He will be faithful. He will be faithful to Abraham, and in the midst of the darkness, God will be with him. In fact, there was a time when God was almost literally torn to pieces. It was that dark moment at Calvary when God came and gave of His life in Christ. And then we move to this understanding of covenant on the side of Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was Jewish before his encounter on the road to Damascus with Jesus, having been blinded and then sent to a place called Straight. And Paul picks up this imagery of the blessing of Abraham that is to pass on to you and to me, this blessing that we would be a blessing to others, this promise of God that He would bear the curse. And so the reason I put the Galatians text in for you is that it's so clear in verse 13 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. So literally, God takes upon Himself the reality that we will not be able to fully fulfill this law. But because Christ absolutely fulfilled the conditions of the law, God can love us unconditionally. With His perfect life, Christ completely fulfills the terms of the covenant. And with His sacrificial death, He completely fulfills what's required of the covenant. So literally anyone lifting their hands full or empty to God may come to Him in faith. This is the basic understanding of covenant, that God has acted on our behalf and for us. So really, when it comes to the understanding of covenant, and we listen to this covenant renewal service, you hear this constant sense of a God that's constantly reaching for you, and Wesley's influence to challenge us in the words of the liturgy, the work of the people, how are we doing in our response to the love of God? That really can be embodied in two ways. Our response to the love of God is embodied in two ways. First, in obedience, and then in trust. Obedience is a sense of compliance with an order or request. In other words, are you obedient? You're given an order, you're given a direction. Laws are based on obedience. If you look out to the corner of Crystal Springs and Woodland Hills, there is this little octagonal red thing. It's called a stop sign. When you come to the stop sign, what are you required to do? Stop. It's not softly tap on pedal. It means stop. Come to a complete stop. If you see laws that are there, laws are broken and there are consequences. Sometimes when we approach the faith and we look at covenant services, we can feel as if this is sort of a burdensome, oppressive, that we're called to be obedient to God. Well, you know, that can be one way of looking at it. But what if we can move not from a place of obedience as an obligatory submission to God, but what if we understood obedience to God as a voluntary following? that we voluntarily follow, not as a way of trying to earn our way to God, because you never can, but as a way of saying thank you to God, as a way of responding to what God has done for us, we respond to God. This is what covenant renewal is about. Now, at some point, you're going to have to go stand at a DMV and get your driver's license renewed. That's going to change your faith in a whole different way, and that's a different sermon topic for that line that you're going to be in. But we renew things all the time. You renew your driver's license. When your debit card runs out, you have to be sent a new one. You have to renew it. We renew our covenants or contracts all the time. This service is meant to invite you and me into a moment to renew our voluntary following of Christ, to respond with open hearts, in a moment to join in Wesley's prayer, to say, God, I'm yours. Do with me what you want. Because God has already settled the accounts of what's required of the law in Christ. Trust is also an incredibly important factor. Trust is about firmly believing in something that's reliable. And so I just simply ask you, what do you trust in the world around you? What do you trust? Do you remember as a kid that you would sit, as your child would come to the edge of the diving board or pool, and as a parent or as an adult, you would tread water, and the child would be at the end, and they didn't know if they wanted to jump, they were afraid to swim. What do you say? You put your hands out. Now, what's the phrase you use? Trust me, I'll catch you. Trust me. It's the same thing God's saying. Trust me. Trust me, I'll catch you. I won't let you fall. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, when talking about love in human terms, had this beautiful phrase. She said, "The face of all the world has changed since first I heard thy footsteps in my soul." The face of all the world has changed when first I heard thy footsteps in my soul. This covenant renewal service, the liturgy, is meant to invite us into the mystery and depth and complexity of the covenant and the simplicity that exists in our willingness to respond and say, God, here I am. I am yours. Move in my heart, move in my life, move in my hands. And when we do that, when we give ourselves to God, it's amazing what together God can do through us in the world. As God meets us in our grief, encourages us in our effort of faithfulness, and is always present and with us. So the prayer that is used in the Wesley Covenant service is on page 5 of your bulletin. It's on page 5. It's on the back page. I want to invite you to take this bulletin with you when you get home. Maybe cut this out and put it in a prominent place for yourself, or take a picture of it on your phone. It's a magnificent part of our tradition, and it reminds us who we are and whose we are. So in the spirit of renewing your yes to God, the sense of knowing that God has loved you with an everlasting love, that you confessed your sin, you heard the words of assurance and pardon that God has forgiven you of your sin, and you know that Christ is God's way of still reaching to you in relationship, let us pray together. We are no longer our own, but yours. Put us to what you will. Rank us with whom you will. Put us to doing. Put us to suffering. Let us be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let us be full, be empty. Let us have all things, let us have nothing. We freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are ours and we are yours. So be it. And the covenant which we have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. This is a lot of churchy language about covenant renewal. If anything in this liturgy makes you curious or you would like to visit more, any of us as a pastoral staff are here available to visit with you and talk about it. But the most important thing for us to remember is this: God is always reaching toward us. The question is, will we respond and let God reach through us to the world around us?